In our text this evening, if you could open in your Bibles to the book of Jonah, looking at Jonah chapter 1, we're still there. Jonah chapter 1, verses 11 through 16, bring us nearly to the end of the chapter, first chapter tonight. Jonah chapter 1. Verses 11 through 16. Then they said to him, Then the sailors said to Jonah, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. And he said to them, Pick me up and throw me into the sea. Then the sea will calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me. Nevertheless, the men rowed to return to land. But they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Therefore they cried out to the Lord and said, We pray, O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Lord, have done as it pleased you. So they picked Jonah up and threw him into the sea, and the sea ceased from its raging. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for your word. And we thank you for this account of Jonah and his experience and the work that you had done in his life and the work that you were doing in the lives of these sailors. Lord, there was much here in this passage tonight, too much to handle in one time. But Lord, I pray that you, by your Spirit, would apply the truths of these words of your holy scriptures to the lives of the people here. Lord, that you would change their hearts and minds with your word. Lord, we pray that you would use this jar of clay for your glory's sake and manifest your presence here this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, we're continuing in our study of Jonah this evening, and we're looking at verses 11 through 16. Last time we saw Jonah, he was singled out by God through the use of lots. And the sailors began firing questions at him, and he made his great confession, almost like Peter made a great confession before our Savior. Jonah makes a great confession before these sailors and says who he is and whom he serves. And the sailors were amazed and greatly terrified that Jonah would rebel and sin against such a great God as Yahweh. And in our text tonight, we see that the storm begins to worsen. The sailors want to know what they can and should do in order for the storm to become calm. And we see that Jonah speaks and acts in such a way that the sailors eventually come to worship and serve the Lord. And that's what my desire for you and me is as well, that we would speak and act in such a way that the men and women around us who do not know the Lord will come to the point where they are worshiping and serving our God. So the main point I hope for you to get this evening is that you should speak and live the gospel so that men and women will worship the Lord. Now, there are many instances and circumstances that give us the opportunity to do this, to speak and to live the gospel. And one of them is when the storms of life cause people to ask spiritual questions. Look at the sailor's question in verse 11. Then they said to him, What shall we do to you that the sea may be calm for us? For the sea was growing more tempestuous. The situation for the sailors in our story is getting more severe. It's getting dire. The sea was growing more and more tempestuous. Jonah's confession of guilt had done nothing to assuage God's anger against him. And the Lord continued to press the storm on Jonah and these sailors to drive them to deal with this God, to deal and respond to God. During this whole encounter, the sailors were trusting on and relying in and praying to their own false gods to deliver them. Yet when the one true God is revealed through the mouth of his prophet Jonah, the sailors inquire of the Lord's prophet concerning how they might be delivered from this situation. The logic is very simple. This storm is from the Lord. This is the Lord's prophet. So we should ask him how this storm could be stopped. They're looking for a solution to this, to their plight. They're looking for deliverance, and they're now asking the man of God how they can be delivered. And this is often the way it is with the unbelievers in the world today. When trials and difficulties and sufferings befall them, they look for deliverance. And often they're relying on their false gods to deliver them. False gods of money or medicine, drugs, alcohol, maybe revenge to try and get even in certain circumstances to try and deliver them from their troubles. However, they can never truly be delivered from their estate without the one true God. Only he can provide for them the wisdom and guidance to bring relief in their circumstances. And it's interesting to me that they seem to know this. Whenever situations befall them, after they realize that what they're doing doesn't seem to be working, they come to us sometimes. Have you ever experienced that? Someone coming to you and asking for advice? They know you're a Christian, and for some reason they begin to think, well, maybe this person has the answer that I need. They know deep down inside that you have found some sort of guidance in your life, and they're looking for answers. Yet like these sailors, the unbelievers that surround us need to be delivered from a situation that's far worse than the trials and difficulties and sufferings that they face. They need to be delivered from an estate of sin and misery. And a conversation about such a need can easily arise due to the different trials and sufferings that people do face in their lives. And you need to be ready and willing to provide the answers that they need. Look at how Jonah responds to these sailors in verse 12. And he said to them, "Pick me up and throw me into the sea, and the sea will become calm for you. For I know that this great tempest is because of me." Jonah provides the sailors with a direction that they need. He says, "Throw me into the sea, and it'll become calm for you." Now, how Jonah knew that the sea would become calm, I think, can only be attributed to divine revelation. This man was a prophet of God, and he was now giving to them the Lord's answer of how they could be delivered. He says, "I know this storm is because of me." He knows that his death will pacify God, that God's anger will be assuaged by Jonah being thrown into the sea. And so he says, "Throw me in." And this is a significant point in Jonah's life. You see, he didn't have to say anything. He was a dead man regardless of whether he spoke up and told them to throw him in or he remained silent. God was going to destroy and sink the ship with all of them in it, or he was going to take Jonah out by having the men cast him into the sea. The only difference would be the fate of the men on board. It's in this moment that Jonah stops thinking about himself and speaks on behalf of the best interest of the sailors, and is willing to sacrifice himself for them. Jonah responds to them with the truth of God's word. He was the Lord's prophet, and he told them the Lord's will concerning their situation and how they could be delivered. And Jonah provides and displays a self-sacrificing attitude toward them as well. So this situation and Jonah's response to it teaches the sailors some significant truths. The first is that the sailors learn that it's only through the word of the Lord's prophet, and therefore the word of the Lord himself, that true instruction for their deliverance can be found. Secondly, they learn that God is a just God who requires punishment for sins. Jonah must die as a result of his sin against God. And thirdly, they learn, according to the Lord's prophet, that their deliverance will come through the death of someone else. This one man's death will save them all. All of these things that the sailors learn seem to ring true of the truths of the gospel. As a matter of fact, Jonah will be cast into the sea and be swallowed by a great fish and remain in his belly for 3 days and then be spit out. And Christ points to this passage and said, "This is the sign that you will have." Christ points to this passage because it points to him. Jonah, by his actions and by his words, were revealing part of the gospel to these men. Jonah spoke and was willing to act in such a way that these men would not only find relief from their present distress, but would be directed to the place where they can find true deliverance and peace. And this is what we must do with the people in our lives. We may not be on a boat full of unbelievers that's about to be destroyed by a great tempest sent by God because of our own sin. But we do find ourselves surrounded by people who are suffering, people who are struggling in their lives, people who are sinking in one way or another. And how we respond to them can teach them some significant truths about the gospel. We need to counsel unbelievers in their distress from the truths of God's word. They need to continually be receiving from us principles founded and grounded in the word of God. So they begin to learn and see that that's where we go to find the truth. That's where we go to find solution and guidance in our lives. And that's where they can go as well. We also need to be living in such a way with them and for them that we're displaying Christ-like love and sacrifice to help them. And Lord willing, we'll speak and act in such a way that men and women would not only find relief from their present distresses, but would be directed to the gospel, the place where their true deliverance can be found. However, this isn't always the case, and sometimes people reject what we have to say. They refuse our counsel and look for other solutions, and we see that that's what they do with Jonah initially. Look at how the sailors respond in verse 13. Nevertheless, the men rowed hard to return to land, but they could not, for the sea continued to grow more tempestuous against them. Instead of following Jonah's direction, they decide to solve the problem themselves. They try to follow their own plan and get to shore. To them, throwing Jonah overboard was a very bad idea. You see, if this was the Lord's prophet, perhaps if we threw him overboard, Yahweh would be more angry with us if we do that. Maybe we shouldn't do this. How about we just row to shore, drop him off, and maybe the storm will follow him and go with him and leave us alone. Kind of like that storm cloud that follows Eeyore around everywhere he goes in Winnie the Pooh. When he walks away, the storm cloud goes away. That's what they're hoping. We'll drop him off, storm cloud goes away, and they're free, they're secure. To them, Jonah's idea seemed like a very bad one because they figured it would just make their lives more difficult. It would make things worse. However, their plan didn't work. No matter how hard they tried, they couldn't get to shore. The storm kept getting worse. You see, the sailors hadn't just set aside some good advice from someone else in exchange for better advice. But ultimately, they rejected the word of the Lord's prophet. They rejected the Lord's words himself. And as a result, their situation was getting worse. And this is often the way it is when people reject godly counsel. Has it ever been the case in your life when someone comes to you and asks for your advice that you counsel them from the word of God, you give them principles from the scripture, and then they turn around and go and do the exact opposite of what you just said? Or if not the opposite, they do what they think is a better idea. And then things get worse. It's painful to see. It's hard to see that happen. And we need to be careful not to have an I told you so attitude. Or when things go very poorly for them, we need to be careful not to say or have a mentality, well, they got what they deserve, which is really easy to have. But we need to remember that we shouldn't boast about such things, because if it wasn't for God's grace, we would be getting what we deserve. It's not just the case with situations we face in this life, but the same thing is true with the matters of salvation as well. We present the truths of the gospel to people around us, those who are drowning in the storm of their own sins. And instead of trusting the word of God, which you proclaim, they try to row themselves to shore, as it were. But life doesn't get any better for them. And their souls aren't any closer to God. In fact, they cannot be. And God's wrath will only grow more tempestuous against them. So we need to pray that the unbelievers around us would recognize the futility of their ways. And that they would cry out to the one you proclaim. That they would recognize their condition and cry out to the one you proclaim. Look at the point that the sailors eventually come to in verse 14. Therefore, they cried out to the Lord. Notice it says the Lord. It didn't say they cried out to God. But they cried out to the Lord, to Yahweh, and said, "We pray, O Yahweh, please do not let us perish for this man's life, and do not charge us with innocent blood. For you, O Yahweh, have done as it pleased you." The sailors realize that their attempts are futile. They recognize that there's no hope for those who strive against the living God. And they realize that they must do what Jonah has told them. They must cast him overboard. And they pray to the Lord. The first time they do it, they pray to the true God of heaven and earth. And their prayer is a plea that God would be true to his word. They were now willing to do what God says, and they're praying, "Lord, be true to your word. Do what you told us to do, and don't hold us guilty for doing it." Jonah had told the sailors that they would be delivered if he threw them into the sea. Now the sailors pray, "O Lord, please do not let us perish for this man's life. Lord, you told us to do it this way, so please don't strike us down for throwing him into the sea. You're the one who told us to do it this way. And don't charge us with this man's innocent blood. Lord, don't hold us guilty as if we were killing an innocent person. You, O Lord, are the one who has done as you have pleased. You told us to do it this way." It's at this point that we see the sailors exercising all three aspects of saving faith. The three aspects are knowledge, assent, and trust. And to explain this, I'd like to give the illustration of my son, James. Last summer in Oklahoma, we were staying in an apartment that didn't have a bathtub. It only had a shower stall. And up until that point, our boys only took baths. And so this was a new experience for him. And so we'd put him in the shower stall and begin to soap his hair. And the soap or the shampoo would come down over his forehead and start to get into his eyes, despite our efforts to try and keep it away. And it would start to burn his eyes. And he started to rub his eyes really hard, trying to get it out. And we'd say, "James, stop what you're doing. What you need to do is put your face in the water and it'll go away. You'll be fine." And so knowledge in this point, in this scenario, is that he needs to know what his face is. He needs to know what the water is. And he needs to know what it means to put his face in the water. See, knowledge is the facts of what needs to be believed. It's the what is question. So he needed to know what his face was. He needed to know what the water was. And he needed to know what it meant to put his face in the water. Then there's assent, an agreeing or believing that what has been said, the facts, that they're true. So he needed to believe that the words that I was speaking was actually going to help him, that this is what he needed to do to make the pain go away. And then there's trust, the willingness to act according to that which you have believed. He needed to actually put his face in the water so the soap could be wiped away. Those are the three aspects of faith. And we see here that the sailors know what God's word is. They know the facts. They heard what Jonah had told them to do. And now they've come to the point where they believe that the facts are true. They're crying out to God to see them as innocent because they're going to do what God wants them to do. And now they pray that he won't hold them guilty because they are willing to do what God wants them to do. It's as if they are holding Jonah, about to pick him up and throw him in. And they're saying, "God, please don't strike us down. This is what you want us to do. We're willing. We're going to do it." They're exercising faith. And this is where we hope and pray the Holy Spirit will bring those that we share and live the gospel in front of. We know that they've heard the facts, and we pray that they would come to the point that they would assent that they're true, and that they would trust and rest in the promises of God, that they would see their need and rest in his promises for salvation, and submit themselves to the word of God. And that's just what we see the sailors doing in the first half of verse 15. So they picked up Jonah and threw him into the sea. The sailors' faith culminates with their submission to the will of God. And they demonstrate their faith is not dead. They pick Jonah up and cast him into the sea. Just like Abraham demonstrated his faith when he went to sacrifice his son, so too do these sailors demonstrate their faith by throwing Jonah overboard. And what happened? Look at the second half of verse 15. The sea ceased from its raging. Through faith in the word and promises of God, the sailors were delivered from their plight. And oh, would it be the case for those around us that they would hear the words of deliverance that we speak, that they would see the gospel demonstrated in our lives as we live self-sacrificing lives in front of them, and that they would come to trust and rest in the promises of God, ultimately worshiping and serving the Lord. Look at what's become of these sailors at the end of this story in verse 16. Then the men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. At the beginning of our story, the sailors feared the storm and that they were afraid to die in the ocean. In the middle of the story, when Jonah reveals who he is and whom he serves, the sailors feared the God who made the earth and the sea, and that they were afraid of being destroyed by this powerful God. And now the sailors fear the Lord. And this fear is of a different sort. I believe the fear that they have now is the same that Jonah had in verse 9 when Jonah said, "I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord," meaning he worships and serves Yahweh. And that's just what we see the sailors doing. Look at the text again. It says, "The men feared the Lord exceedingly and offered a sacrifice to the Lord. They worshiped him." And then they took vows. They obligated themselves to serve him in some way. I find this whole thing incredible. The beginning of the story, Jonah was running and fleeing God as fast and as hard as he could, running away from preaching the gospel, from preaching the message of repentance. And now God pursues him with this storm and brings him to the point where he remembers who he is and whom he serves. And then he ends up proclaiming the one true God in front of these men. And he provides them a message of deliverance and then demonstrates a sacrificial act to save them, that the judgment wouldn't fall on them as well. God had brought Jonah to this point. And this is of great encouragement to me. And I don't know whether it is for you, but it is for me. I see that no matter how much I've failed in the past to share and demonstrate the gospel to others because of my own self-centeredness, God can and still will use my efforts now to bring people to the point of worshiping and serving him. So I don't know where you've been in your life with sharing or demonstrating the gospel to other people, but I want you to know that you can start doing it now. It's not too late. Take the opportunity to give people the answers they need, not simply the answers to the present circumstances and difficulties they face. These circumstances can bring questions to their minds about spiritual things or open up the door to answer questions of those natures. But give them the answers of the gospel as well. Show them what the gospel is as well by living a sacrificial life for them. Don't be discouraged if they put you off, but pray that they would recognize their true condition, cry out to God, and worship and serve him. And may God be pleased to use what you have shared and how you have lived to do that, to bring it to pass. So share and live the gospel that men and women would come to worship and serve the Lord. Share and live the gospel that men and women would come to worship the Lord. Let's pray. Gracious God and Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for this account of Jonah's life. We see a man who was so unwilling to do your will, and yet you have brought him around to the point where he proclaimed your word and gave himself so that others could be spared. And Lord, I pray that we would live and act in such a way that would demonstrate that the gospel has made an impact in our lives, that we would always speak from your word and be willing to demonstrate your love for others by the way we live for them. Lord, empower us by your Spirit, because ultimately we want others to see and come and worship you. Lord, we love you and we want others to love you as well. Thank you for this word. We pray that you would keep it in our minds this week. In Jesus' name, amen.